All right, let me jump on in here. First Dipper is called Fighting Back. So I'm going to talk about the Trump rally in more detail later. So if you got comments on the Trump rally, hold those. Wait till we get into number two of the Triple Dipper after that interview with Coach Kennedy. But I will say this. There was a surprise guest among several yesterday at the Trump rally, Dr. Phil, believe it or not. So Dr. Phil was there. I don't know that he's ever endorsed before, although something about the way he phrases things sometimes, it's led me to believe he probably is a conservative. But Dr. Phil was on stage just imploring supporters of Donald Trump to stand up to bullying and protect others. And his speech was, I mean, he's Dr. Phil, so he's going to come at it from the got to take care of each other and how do we do these things. But he said, these are his comments. He said, quote, Trump's got a lot of enemies. They've impeached him, indicted him, raided him, railroaded him, shot him, and sued him. And where is he? He's still standing. This is from Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday afternoon. But then he went on to say, he said that the reason he came to speak at the rally was to tell Trump supporters that they have got to stand up for the people who have declared their support for Donald Trump or got found out about it, and they're being intimidated by others. And he points out that what we're seeing from the left right now is some extreme bullying. And it's true. All this stuff about, you know, the rally being just another Nazi rally. And basically anybody who dares to support Donald Trump is now a Nazi or a racist or what. And that, my friends, is the epitome of bullying. It's exactly what the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals advocated. You find them, you fix them, and then you polarize them. And that's what they're trying to do. But it's an epic level of bullying. And that's why in my monologue, I talked about the fact that you've got rights and you've got each other. And I'm just telling you, when you realize you're not alone, it makes a huge difference. Turn to somebody who's like, I'm not putting the Trump sign in my yard, but I am going to vote. You tell them, I'll put the Trump sign in my yard if you will. Do it. Just do it. Just show the world. By God, I could care less what y'all think. You know why? I have rights. And oh, by the way, I got people. So yes, fighting back is a big part of what we have got to do more of. Some of that just involves standing up. Some of that is just about, you know, saying enough's enough. Some of that is like saying, hey, I'm there for you. But we're seeing this stuff happening. I got a piece from the National Review. Do you remember? Okay, so, well, how could you forget? Trump went to McDonald's, right? Trump went to McDonald's. And immediately McDonald's started taking heat. Go figure. Now, McDonald's is big enough to endure the heat. McDonald's has had heat before. I mean, they got rid of the McRib and they got heat. All right, but all I'm saying is they've been getting a lot of heat that's unusual. Story on the National Review came out right out 6 days ago. It says a group of Democratic senators is now scrutinizing McDonald's price increases. Well, now, go figure. Senators Elizabeth Warren, Bob Casey, and Ron Wyden, all Democrats, wrote a letter last week to McDonald's CEO asking for more information about the company's pricing strategies. Why? Well, because they believe that corporate profits are keeping people from having food on their table. That Big Mac is important to feed a family. Says, we hope McDonald's will help us understand why its prices have risen so high. What world did they live in? The reason why McDonald's prices are so high are because of them. That's why. I guarantee you all three of those chuckleheads voted for the Inflation Reduction Act. Voted to flood the world with money and to pay people to stay out of work during COVID. I guarantee you they all just said the Green New Steel is the most awesome thing in the world. Let's spend billions of dollars on that too. And oh, by the way, how about $780 million to put charging stations for EVs on every street corner, and we've only built seven in 4 years? That's where your inflation came from. But no, it's McDonald's fault. Why McDonald's, by the way? Oh, maybe it's because Trump. McDonald's president Joe Erlinger, though, disputed social media posts suggesting the company was raising prices over and above the rate of inflation, saying franchisees in the local areas have to set their prices based upon inflationary pressures. And he points out that, You could talk about greedflation, but it's really not the large corporations that are causing the problem. He didn't say it that way. I paraphrased that for him. But then let's go one step further. How about the actual McDonald's where Trump served fries? Daily Caller, October 23rd, 5 days ago. The Mijos family was enjoying a meal at McDonald's in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Bucks County, that's the one. The same restaurant where former President Donald Trump worked the drive-thru. And they noticed something peculiar. A group of armed guards wearing bulletproof vests. At McDonald's. Now, here's the thing. This section I'm doing, this dipper, is called Fighting Back, right? The Bucks County McDonald's says they began receiving threatening phone calls and social media messages following Trump's visit. Jim Worthington, the leader of Pennsylvania's delegation at the RNC and one of the key organizers, told the Daily Caller, as a precaution to protect his employees, the franchise owner has retained the private security force that he hired in the lead-up to the event. He said, though, this is it. This is the thing. He said, this is sadly a cost of doing business, but I value my employees and my customers, so I'm willing to bear that cost. You know what you didn't hear? You didn't hear, I'm sorry. You know what you didn't hear? You didn't hear, that'll never happen again. I won't do that. You know what you didn't hear? You didn't hear, well, we didn't mean to. We're not really going to vote for Trump. No, what you heard is, screw y'all, I'll hire armed guards and my people can just keep on serving burgers. How about that? I'm telling you, there's got to be more of a fight back. Now, we get back from this break. I'm going to tell you about some fight backs, though, that have really sort of changed the landscape. Not the least of which is the one involving our guest at the top of the hour, Coach Joe Kennedy. I mean, there have been some court battles, y'all, in the fight backs that are changing the way things work for the better. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we got plenty on tap here. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour when we get back from that break, Coach Joe Kennedy, the football coach who dared to kneel and pray on the football field where he, you know, was employed in the public school system, and that's in Bremerton High School. Literally lost his job for praying. Well, he took that battle all the way to the Supreme Court. Talk about fighting back. He actually, because of his suit, it has changed the lay of the land for religious freedom in the courts. And it's because one man chose to fight back. And that's just, it's awesome. But let me do this. Let me get a couple more in here just so you know there's other people fighting back. How about the Babylon Bee? Which, by the way, the Babylon Bee, that has to be one of the funniest meme generators in like the history of memes. Just...
I don't know what's the story about to reference, but I think Newsom's lawsuit against them just, yep, there you go.
No, you're nailing it, man. That's exactly right. So, yeah, JP's on it. So the Babylon Bee filed suit against the state of California. Let's talk about fighting back. So what happened was California decided to pass a new law that says that they get to decide whether something is, you know, needs to be taken off social media because it might be offensive. Well, who gets to decide that? Oh, yeah, the government. That's never a good idea. The government picking winners and losers is just not a good idea. So free speech advocates right now, according to townhall.com late last week, free speech advocates are celebrating after California agreed that it would not enforce one of its new censorship laws targeting political satire and parody. It literally targeted meme generators and political satire and parody. Why? Because they might say things that are harmful and could hurt an election. You mean like, oh, I don't know, counter the messaging being touted like the mainstream media saying that last night was a Nazi rally? I mean, can you stop that from playing in California too, by the way? But yeah, Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a national special interest law firm, came in on behalf of the Babylon Bee, sued the state of California, and got an injunction that law will now not be enforced. In fact, here's Alliance Defending Freedom's vice president said, California's war against political memes is censorship, plain and simple. We should not trust the government to decide what is true. Governor Newsom has no constitutional authority to act as the humor police. Awesome. 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 How about Texas? You can always count on Texas to fight something, right? Texas. FoxNews.com, Dateline last Thursday. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing the Biden-Harris administration for not providing the Republican not providing the information the Republican says he needs to verify the citizenship of 450,000 potentially ineligible voters. What does that mean? They've got 450,000 people registered to vote in Texas whose there's a question mark next to their citizenship, and all they're asking is for confirmation from DHS that they are not flagged for having come across the border and are here on the many parole programs that the Biden administration uses. So the federal lawsuit was filed in the Western District of Texas, claiming that this is withholding information is jeopardizing election security. It is. And here's the deal. Paxton even pointed out. He said, although federal and state law prohibits non-citizens from voting, federal law paradoxically creates opportunities for non-citizens to illegally register, while prohibiting states then from requiring the voters to have proof of citizenship to vote. So the common sense measure to identify illegal registration just says, tell us who they are. DHS won't do it. Why would they not? Oh, I thought DHS cared about election security. I mean, didn't DHS just appoint two election minders for the state of Alabama last week? Yes, they did. Well, thank God for Texas choosing to fight back on the issue. And this is not just, now, keep in mind, when I say fighting back, Alabama's fighting too, but we got sued by the federal government. So Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall is now defending the issue for the state. In this case, Texas went out and just filed suit themselves. Texas goes, well, we'll just sue you, DHS and Mayorkas. I've got more. I've got CNN losing a court battle over damaging claims. I've got New York federal judge grants permanent injunctions against handgun bans in public housing. All these things are real. There are people fighting back saying no. But let me give you a prelude right now to who's about to come on the show. I'm pretty excited about this. So you may have heard him called Coach Joe or Coach Joe Kennedy. But about 9 years ago, a football coach in Bremerton High School, which I believe, and I'll look it up and make sure, but I believe it was in Virginia, but I'll double check that. He started offering a prayer on the field after each high school football game, and the school district tried to shut him down. A 7-year-long legal battle that went up and down and up and down through the appellate processes. And all said and done, this football coach, he fought his way all the way to the Supreme Court, and he won. By winning his case, what he did was he completely unraveled because the new conservative court that we have right now, the opinion came out and reversed a prior ruling called the Lemon v. Kurtzman or Lemon test. Now, I know I'm getting in the weeds, but the bottom line is this. When you have things like Roe v. Wade getting overturned, you don't realize how many other things that got overturned in other cases that have just as much impact on our daily lives. You and I might not have the issue of abortion in our life per se, but we all have religious freedom issues. And the Lemon test was deemed to be far too onerous. The Lemon test literally weighed out the issue of whether or not there was too much entanglement of the public sector, the government, with the expression of religion. And somehow or another, the Lemon test was deciding that things like praying on a public football field created an entanglement between religion and government. An impermissible entanglement is what they used to call it. They would look at the character and the purpose of the institution. They would look at the nature of the aid the state was providing. But then they would also look at the relationship between the government and the religious institution. And it was that relationship piece that was constantly screwing things up. The government might not be paying for Coach Joe to pray, but they were paying for the field and allowing him to pray. And that's just scary. Well, with the help of good lawyers and God on his side, Coach Joe decided, I got to take a stand. I got to fight back. And so he did. And it rocked on for 7 years until finally, the Supreme Court of the United States stepped in and said, you know what, this is not the kind of country we're going to be. And they ruled that there is no entanglement, and they literally reversed and did away with the Lemon test. And we have a whole new day now for the ability to see religious freedoms. in the court system of the United States. Coming up next, the guy who made that happen, Coach Joe Kennedy. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. And listen, I just did this whole first dipper on the show about fighting back, right? And I had you a variety of stories about people who have chosen to take a stand and say no to the pressures from the left. And I'm about to bring somebody on right now who may be the poster boy for that. So Coach Joe Kennedy was a high school football coach at Bremerton High School out in Washington State. And he was literally fired, suspended first and then fired, because he dared to express his faith by praying quietly on the football field after a game. Kneeling and praying, because, you know, what could be more threatening to life as we know it? And so he literally lost his job, but he chose to say no to it and take it all the way to the Supreme Court. There is now a movie made about his life. He's got his book out called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And he's on the line right now. Coach Joe Kennedy, how are you doing?
I am wonderful, my friend. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And by the way, you and I are going to be together tomorrow night at the Eagle Forum of Alabama dinner. I look forward to hearing you speak then, too.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait for that. I've been looking forward to this one for about a month now.
Well, it's going to be a good night. In fact, you know, what's interesting, I'll say this too, because your case, which we'll get into in a minute, literally changed the legal landscape for religious freedom and freedom of expression. But almost all of the appellate court judges from the state of Alabama, the Supreme Court and all, are going to be there.
Oh, that's really cool. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, let's do this. How about telling us your story? Bremerton High School, you're coaching. What happened?
Yeah, well, I got to back up just a little bit and tell you that I was one of those terrible kids, just got in trouble and everything, got kicked out in group homes, foster homes, boys' homes, and stuff like that. Joined the Marine Corps, did a career in the Marines, and that kind of led me to when I was still an atheist, and I got out of the Marine Corps, got married to my wife, and everything radically changed when I was failing as a husband, and I accepted the Lord, and He pulled me to coaching. So my commitment with God was just to give thanks after every game, win or lose. And that's what I did, and we were doing that into our eighth season before it ever became any kind of a problem.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Well, first of all, Semper Fi, thank you for that. And then I'm also glad to hear that you're so openly expressive about the fact that Jesus jerked a knot in your tail, as my grandfather used to say. So 8 years of coaching, and then somebody complained, huh?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting because we got a compliment. So over the years, the kids asked if they could come out, and of course, this is a free country; they could do whatever they want, and they did. And it kind of grew. They asked if the other team could join, so it grew every year. And in our eighth season, we had all the schools in our district actually praying with us afterwards, giving thanks after every game. So that was really cool. Another educator from another school district saw what we were doing and called our principal and said, I just got to tell you what your football program is doing is awesome. So this all stemmed from a compliment, and they started an investigation to find out what was so awesome. And then things just kind of went sideways from there.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you were, just disrupting life as they knew it, leading to all kinds of doubt and confusion and destroying young child's minds. So did they immediately suspend you? Did they suspend you pending the investigation? I mean, how did that go down?
Yeah, it went through a couple of reiterations. So at first we talked, because these people are my friends. I worked for them for about a decade. My wife worked there for 15 years in the school district. And, you know, we spent holidays together with these people. They're friends of ours. Our kids grew up together in school together. So we weren't, you know, trying to fight about anything. This was something that I thought we could work out as adults. You know, imagine just talking about your problems. And their lawyers got involved and gave me a do not contact order to the school district that I couldn't talk to them unless I had legal representation, which I thought, man, what is going on? So I had to have First Liberty Institute, somebody from actually out of state, come and represent me because nobody in the state of Washington wanted to take it. And the school district and I, first they said, stop praying with the kids. And I did. I never prayed with the students again. Then they told me that I needed to choose between my faith and my job because they said, you can't do this. You can't pray out in the middle of a public field. And I was like, yes, you can. The First Amendment's pretty clear. I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, it's pretty clear. The freedom of speech and the free exercise, the freedom of religion, those are, you know, pretty simple things in my book. And that's where we just bumped heads, and the school district lawyers took a hard line, and they're being represented by an outside group, which is really unfortunate. And that's the way they took it, is that it's so much easier just to remove religion out of the public square than to deal with it or educate our people about it.
When you say an outside group, I meant to ask you that, and I'm glad you brought that up. Was this one of those Freedom From Religion Foundation kind of groups that comes in from out of state, or was it something else?
No, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had a different name, but I shouldn't say that on the radio. So I just kind of leave their name out of it because they're just a bunch of punks and intimidators. It's really sad the way they work.
It really is. And they always have the invisible anonymous person in the community who's offended by what you're doing and needs to have their rights defended. I've watched it happen here in Alabama. I mean, I've had multiple, I used to serve in the Alabama State Senate, and I had multiple small towns in my district that would get these letters about their manger scenes at Christmas. And it was always because someone was offended, and yet no one has been offended for 20 years. But there you are. And the fear of the big lawsuit was so intimidating to some small towns that they would just roll over and forget it. But you didn't roll over. That's what gets me, is you chose not to roll over. I don't know if that was the Jesus in you or the Marine Corps in you or all the above, but I'm glad you didn't.
You know, yeah, that's where it gets really funny, because I question that. You know, they don't really teach you this in church or anything. What do you do when you're faced with these things? Because we always teach about love and all that kind of stuff as Christians. And, you know, as an American, that's not the kind of person I am. I can't back down to a fight, and I'll stand up for whatever is right, even if it's not popular. I mean, this is what I'm teaching that my football team, is to become better young men. And now all of a sudden I'm faced with this. And, man, I tell you, the Marine in me and the red-blooded American, because I was an American before I became, you know, a follower of the Lord. And I could not live with that. And yeah, I didn't know which way to go on it as far as being a Christian, but as an American, I just knew everything about it was wrong.
Well, it was, and it took a while for the court system to figure that out too, because you guys went up and down the line. You went to the federal appellate levels. They basically everything was going against you until you finally got to the Supreme Court. Am I right?
Yeah, we lost 7 times, and we went to the Supreme Court twice. So. Over a span of 8 years, and it took me 9 football seasons to actually get back on the football field. So, yeah, it was really super long. Yeah, justice wheels do not turn fast at all.
Holy cow. Well, I mean, you're not alone. There's other people that have gone through similar things, but yours is the one that got all the way up to SCOTUS. And I know you know this, but as an attorney, I got to say, I'm amazed at what came out of your decision. It was not just a win for you. It was not just isolated to, well, here's this guy, Joe Kennedy, we'll give him a win. It wound up being a win for religious freedom and religious expression nationwide. They repealed what you used to call the Lemon Test. I mean, it's really been a big deal, and it sent shockwaves across the nation to these Freedom From Religion Foundation punks who get out there and try to mess with our religious rights.
Oh, yeah, and it's been going on for, Lemon was, I guess, like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've been trained as an American society, the separation of church and state, you can't mix the two. And it all stemmed from these idiots that made a bad choice 50 years ago with the Lemon. And so I had no idea about that. I just asked for my job back and be able to pray. And it was really cool how the courts ruled on it and really clarified what the First Amendment means. Instead of being opposed forces, they actually work in unison with each other, and they they really did a great job of explaining that. So we need to reprogram American society to this is the way it originally was and is supposed to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, I got to ask you, though, too, with a couple minutes left here, how surreal is it to have your name, like, attached to a movie and you've got a book out now? I mean, you were just coaching high school, what, 8, 9 years ago, and now, dang, look what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll show you what kind of sense of humor God has, because I tell you, couldn't it be me? I mean, and that's why we named the movie and the book Average Joe. I actually wanted it to be called A Little Below Average Joe, but they said, no, that's too much of a mouthful. And yeah, I mean, I'm nobody. I was a high school football coach in Bremerton, Washington, which most people never even heard of. So yeah, it's just amazing. But I really believe that God had something to say and really wanted to tell the story about you know, the way that our country is, our faith and our relationships because of what me and my wife went through all of this.
Well, I would not call you, I mean, you're average, but you're not, if you know what I'm saying. And I would also say that, you know, regardless of how you might perceive yourself, you've come across, and I'm just bragging on you here, pretty spectacular. But at the same time, the way you said it, I will say this, if you look at scripture, God has a way of using what he calls the least of these among us to do amazing things. David and Goliath, the whole thing. And you're a David and Goliath story.
Yeah, if God could use me, imagine what he could do with the rest of America if we all stood up together.
Well, Coach, listen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate not only your humility in it all, but the fact that you do not take for granted what you got. I also know you moved to the Southeast, so welcome to the Southeast United States, by the way.
Yeah, I'm part of the SEC now, yeah.
All right, so now we have to know, are you going to declare, is it Auburn or Alabama by any chance?
No, I'm going to go with my alma mater. I got to go with University of Tennessee, go Vols. Oh. So sorry to your producer.
Oh, my producer.
Sorry,
come
Alabama,
on,
I still love you.
Come on, man.
Come on. I won't say who you guys lost to this year.
Well, Coach, we've got right now, we live stream the show as well as being live on radio. We've got your picture plus a picture of the cover of your book, Average Joe. People can find it on Amazon and everywhere else that books are sold. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night at the Eagle Forum dinner.
I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to meet you, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Take care.
All right.
That's just a cool story. Take me to a break, brother. I'm just going to sit here and just revel in that one for a minute. That's just a cool story. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's an old saying, God uses cracked pots, right? He just does. And God uses the least among us. And I don't think Coach is the least among us, but you can tell he has a humble attitude about where he's been and what he's been a part of. But God took somebody who was just kneeling on a football field and changed the legal landscape. And it would not have happened if he had just rolled over and said, okay. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, listen, we got tons of doings, but I'm about to switch dippers. So you know what we got to talk about. I mean, first of all, I gotta pause, though, and reflect back. Wasn't that a cool interview just a minute ago?
That was a good interview. And, you know, being privileged to go to a Christian high school and play football there, you know, my high school football coach was very involved, you know, spiritually in our lives. And, you know, we would have Bible studies at his house and everything and pray before and after every practice, before and after every game. So it's just thinking in my mind of it would just be, I almost can't imagine not having that in a coach. And, you know, the fact that they attacked him for simply just praying and having that influence on them, it's mind-boggling, but I'm also glad that he took it to the courts and he won. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, let me get a couple of text messages on that. We might even just end. I might not even start the dipper or next dipper until we get back from the break, because text messages, Stephen from Elkmont. Oh, it's a long one. Okay, hang on a second. I'm not sure I can read this entire thing. It says, good afternoon, Colonel. I appreciate your ability to discuss contentious political matters in an open, honest manner while still holding and publicly professing your faith. As conservative Christians, I believe there's a proper, although often difficult balance and responsibility we must maintain as we discuss so many provocative issues. This is a balance and responsibility that so-called progressive Christians and progressives in general do not feel bound to. Well, listen, man, I'm not going to read the entire text. It's very long, but thank you so much for it. And he ends by saying, and like you always say, God is still on his throne. Thanks for what you do. I appreciate that, Stephen, and you are so right. In fact, you remind me. So two things. One is my latest written op-ed is out today. It always goes first on 1819 News. It's on that very thing, Stephen. It's on the fact that faith and politics, they do go together. Don't let anybody tell you different. You are allowed to vote your faith. You are allowed to even get in the public square and use your faith to decide how to vote and to tell other people to vote. You're certainly allowed to. Stephen, thank you for that. I'll also say, too, that I decided that message was going to resonate enough that I needed to also do my video podcast on that. The Right Philosophy comes out on Wednesday. It'll be an expanded version. What you see in the written op-ed that came out today, picture that as like the teaser, if you will, for about 20 minutes or so of talking about faith in the public arena and why it's okay, and even giving some great examples of people who have taken a stand for their faith to their own detriment against their government, and why we cannot just lay down on it. So, Stephen, thank you for the long text. Great stuff. Jerry, brand spanking new in the text line, Jerry from Hartsel. Yeah, we're glad you're in there, man. Says, Joe didn't want to say it, but I will. He said Alabama's two losses were Vandy and the Vomiteers.
That's a good one.
Okay. Tom from Decatur says, tying your interview with the coach concerning prayer, did you happen to see the story in the UK concerning a man silently praying for his sick boy has been ruled illegal? Yeah, Tom, I did see that. I need to dig into it because I don't know what's happening in the UK. By the way, I accepted Christ living in London, England, believe it or not. My dad was military. We were stationed overseas. And so I literally came to know the Lord because I was living in the UK. And now to watch what's happening over there to religious freedom, it's just going by the wayside. You're not allowed to stand and pray silently on a sidewalk without being arrested. It's just unbelievable. And I don't mean that little. It's not just one case. It's multiple. Jerry from Decatur says, God was glorified in Coach Joe. All Christians as soldiers of the cross will give an account for our warfare, airborne. Appreciate you, man. John from Huntsville wants to know, JP, did you see the Dodgers win game two?
I did, and unfortunately it looks like the Dodgers are just going to outclass the Yankees, which I knew it was going to happen, but I don't want the Dodgers to win, man.
Shohei,
probably the greatest player of all time already. It's hard to lose if you got him.
50-50 is going to be 60-60 the way he's going right now.
Yeah.
All right, more to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.